There is an endless sea of podcasts about entrepreneurship. Talking about it, but not living it. We live it every day. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel, talking about real estate investing, but also encompassing general subjects in regards to owning small to medium-sized businesses, and of course, all the struggles that business owners must overcome to be successful. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, and this is Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel.
We are excited. Thank you for joining us on Inside the Wolf's Den. This is episode one, numero uno, the first of many, and we're excited because this was many years in the making, and then been thinking about this for a couple of years, so we're excited to finally be here. And so my name is Sean Wolfswinkel. I have owned and operated several small businesses for the last 20 years with my beautiful wife, Joni Wolfswinkel. Do you want to have a couple of words to say?
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually pretty excited about this. Sean said we've been working on this for a couple of years now and in the making. So we're finally here. I'm excited about it. So
awesome. Well, this wouldn't have happened without our awesome producer, chief of marketing, technology extraordinaire, Brett Moses behind the mic, behind the camera. So Brett, would you introduce yourself?
Wow. Hi. Thank you. I'm Brett. Brett Moses. Nice introduction. I'm really happy to be here. You know, we've talked about that. We've been friends for a long time, even before I started working with you guys. And I'm inspired by you guys. I'm inspired by your relationship. And I'm just happy to be here and proud that we've got this thing kicked off. So good luck. Let's have some fun. And I'm really excited to see where this storyline goes and where the show goes. I respect you both immensely as people and entrepreneurs, and I'm just excited to so that we get that wealth of knowledge from you guys. So let's have some fun.
Awesome. Well, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. So we you know, we brought on Brett to help us with this, and he's not only an awesome person, but he's also very genius when it comes to marketing and stage presence and acting. Because he was a great actor at one point in his life as well. So we're excited to bring him on here. You're going to hear a lot from him as well in this podcast throughout the episodes and his expertise and some of the things that he's brought to the table. But the purpose behind why we wanted to do a podcast and why we've been planning it for several years is we want to share our testimony, want to share our experience. You know, we're still very active in our businesses, and we want to hope to better other people out there and offer, you know, learn from us, you know, what mistakes have we made, and so you don't make those same mistakes. And we started off at a very young age, and so we want to encourage people out there getting into entrepreneurship, the work that it takes, but also that it is possible, and it can be an avenue for a lot of people out there. So we wanted to share our story and our experiences and currently what we're currently experiencing day to day. As we record this, we're in the middle of COVID-19, which has been an interesting time. Definitely, you know, it's never happened something like this during a lot of people's lifetime. And so it's an interesting time to own a business and operate a business and navigating through it. And so that's why you see the long hair that I haven't, haven't got a haircut in over 45 days, I don't think. But, you know, you roll with it and you learn the biggest thing that, you know, I think Joni and I have done over the years is that no matter what challenges we face and no matter what's thrown at us, we just, you know, we get punched in the face, we get knocked down, but we never quit, and we just keep getting up. We dust ourselves off. We deal with, you know, whatever's thrown at us and deal with those circumstances and then learn how to overcome them, pivot if we need to. And that's what's got us to where we are today. So you ready for this?
Yeah, get going? Yeah. A lot of people that know us actually know us as the power couple, or when they mix us together, they call us the Shonies. Like, we're together all the time, so when they think of us, it's the Shonies. So
or Shoni and John.
Shoni and John. But I mean, we've been working together now for what, 20 years or so?
20 years it's been. It's 20 years this year. So.
That's kind of the biggest question that I get all the time. Like, how in the world are you able to work with your spouse for, you know, 20 years without killing him? Yeah. And I've gotten pretty close a couple of times. And I'm sure Brett can attest to some awkward moments there. But I think we figured it out. And that's kind of, you know, what we're, some tips we're going to share along the way is, you know, how we were able to get through that and, you know, what's worked in our relationship. You know, and then just me being an entrepreneur and a mom and how to balance all that. So, I mean, this podcast is for a lot of individuals out there either wanting to better themselves, being entrepreneurs, you know, just really anything.
Yeah, and I think that's the point behind the podcast and what we wanted to deliver was, yes, there's a, we're going to obviously deliver about the business and running small businesses and multiple businesses, having multiple streams of revenue, being able to work in different markets. But on top of all that is, hey, how can you balance all that with a spiritual relationship, relationship with your kids, your spouse, parents, family, how you, your health and fitness and how we've been able to manage and balance that. I'm obviously you've done a lot better at that than I have, but I mean, we still, it,
yeah, you know, it's, I mean, it's definitely, it's a lot of work. Don't get me wrong, but it can be done, you know? And, so I'm going to share some tips on how I'm able to, you know, balance like eating healthy and fitness and, you know, still have time for the family when I do get home. So, exciting time.
You do a very good job of that, and it shows. So, and then you know, just working with your spouse, we're gonna get heavily into that. And this show isn't just for one. We definitely don't want to, you know, narrow it down, you know, and just be about business or just individuals or just about couples. It's gonna be for everybody. I think yes, we're gonna talk a lot about how to work with your spouse because that's more and more. And I think maybe the aftermath of COVID-19, you're going to see a lot more home-based businesses and people working from home. And so how do you manage all that, kids and dogs and even though we don't have dogs, but you know, that whole management of, you know, working out of your house and then, but also, you know, cause we did that for many years and then also working with your spouse and the roles and the relationships and, I think we'll have some episodes where we talk about just, you know, maybe you just deliver the episode where you're talking in a woman's perspective. And I think, you know, you have a book coming out and you want to talk to what
it's really about empowering women that, you know, you really can have it all. You can have, you know, the career that you want. You could still be, you know, a good mom. You can still, you know, be healthy and fit. And do all that with balance. I mean, it's not perfect and it's not ever going to be perfect, but what I strive for every day is just progress. And that's kind of what's helped me, you know, go along the way and grow.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And Joni and I are, you'll find out we're definitely not perfect people. And we don't try to be, and we make a lot of mistakes. We've learned from those mistakes. We don't usually make them second time, but, and as you'll find out on the show, we're transparent. You know, we are who we are, you know, we're not trying to be somebody we're not. And we're okay with that. And you like us for who we are or you don't, you know, and we're okay either way, but we're going to be, true to ourselves. And I think that goes even as we've grown bigger in our businesses and maybe higher net worth and all that. We still stick to who we are and we're very humbled and stick to our roots.
Absolutely. So. And I think part of who we are, I mean, we have a passion also for helping people. So, I mean, we have created an amazing culture here in our organization. And, you know, it's about our staff and our employees. And we love to give back to them. That's just part of our identity.
Mm-hmm. And I'll also be giving some episodes where, you know, the opposite, I'll give the men's perspective where I'm, you know, what it's like to at times have to be maybe in second place to your wife. And that's, there's nothing wrong with that. And let her lead, be the front end of it or the front house of it. And I'm okay with that. And that's, but that, you know, I know for a lot of men that might be, hit on your ego, or, you know, and you know, Joni's obviously a very beautiful woman,
well,
but
thank you.
But she, you know, there's times where she's, first of all, and you'll find out in our story as we go today, you know, she's much more outgoing than I am. I'm much more reserved, kind of love to play behind the scenes, and that's just where I live, and I'm more comfortable in my personality. But the, she does a very good job of being that social butterfly and networking. And so there's sometimes I have to let her run with that and lead, for the betterment of our organization, you know, our staff, and be in those roles. And I had to be comfortable with, in my own skin, with her taking those roles, and that might not be easy for some people, but, and so we'll get into that too, and how that works in business. And
yeah, I think it takes two. I mean, it's not, you know, not a one way street. I mean, you know, it's same thing for us women as well. You know, my husband likes to be right 99.9% of the time.
Because I usually am.
Not always, but, you know, there's times where you just have to bite your tongue. You just, it's like my grandmother used to say, like, one word brings another. So at some point, it's not even worth fighting sometimes. So, you know, it's like, all right, let's just let it go. That's that's our six-year-old favorite song, Let It Go. So, you know, there's times where you just, you know, have to let it roll.
Yeah. And the it reminds me, I think there's been a lot on Facebook lately. There's been there's a game where they put the spouse, they ask the spouses a bunch of questions. You have to point to who, you know, like who makes up, who says sorry first.
That's usually me.
I could use this, yeah. So. But yeah, the rest of the, that's the point of the podcast, what we're going to be going through. And I think it should be a fun journey. You know, and as we continue to grow in our companies and our and relationships and our business, and our kids grow up, you know, we have plenty to share and share with all of you out there. So the rest of this episode, this first one, is we want to just kind of just go back in time and just share how did we get to where we are today, and that story, and that, you know, and kind of summarize, you know, some of the pitfalls and maybe some of the wins, and how do we get here? How do we navigate here? So I was going to take it all the way back to high school, where we first met. So Joni and I are high school sweethearts. And there's a fun story to that, because we met in typing class. I think I was in advanced typing, and she had just entered in typing. And so we went to a Catholic high school. And so we had a Brother Ed teaching.
I think that was his name. Brother Ed. I just remember sitting in the back of the class, kind of just looking at you.
Yeah. So I don't know what she saw in me. Still to this day, there's times I wonder what she saw in me, but, you know, we,
well, you did have a nice truck. So,
so it's still about the money. No. So everybody out there, it's still about the money. No, but I mean, she, you know, as you'll find out in our stories, we come from very different backgrounds, growing up, kind of polar opposites of each other, but we, brought us together, and I think those polar opposites gives us strength also as together in our union. We'll get into that story and kind of where she's come from, where I've come from. But yeah, we were in typing class. I remember I think it was either first week of school or something like that. She didn't bring any typing paper to class.
I was never prepared. I came with, you know, my backpack, nothing in it, and maybe a pencil.
And so she asked, she went to me as a way to introduce herself to me. She asked for some typing paper. And at that time, I'm still like nervous or shy and have a hard time like looking people in their eyes and stuff like that. But she, at that time I was like deathly afraid of talking to people. And so like, I just got nervous, handed her my whole stack of paper. And after the interaction and talking to each other, I realized I didn't have any paper for classes. So I had to go back to her and ask her for some of my paper back. So that's the awkwardness, nerdiness of me growing up. But that's how we met. And we had mutual friends, and we started dating in high school. I think homecoming was our first date.
Yeah, homecoming.
Yeah. So, and you know, high school was... It was, I had a tougher childhood. I was just, like I said, I was definitely afraid of human interaction and talking to people. And so I think Joni did a really, really good job of helping me gain confidence and get out of my comfort zone at that age, and gave me the confidence that I needed to kind of start to get out of my shell and mature a little bit. So even at that young of age, she was helping me even then, as she does today.
Yeah, I think we helped each other. I mean, I came from a, I went to a public school, and my mom, she was, you know, very protective and wanted me to get into a Catholic school. And so I think she just wanted me to stay out of trouble as a way of her sending me to the Catholic school, you know. But so I was super outgoing, you know, always had a bunch of friends. And so she was worried about me. So she sent me to the Catholic school.
And then she met a saint like myself. I was the total opposite. Yeah, and they still think I'm a saint. They just don't know the real truth. But the I was the total opposite. So I had the one friend, and I was not outgoing at all. But the one thing that I think that we both attribute a lot of our drive to as well to is sports. And yeah. I think we were very involved. I was a 3-sport letterman, played soccer, basketball, and ran track.
I played softball, I ran track, and I was actually a wrestler, something yeah. most people don't know about me.
So someday on the podcast, on the live version, we're going to share that picture of her in her wrestling
booth. And Sean will show that picture. Yeah. He's shown it a couple of times to our friends.
So, but she used to beat up on the boys, and actually she was a very good softball player and did very well. So, but going into how we grew up, so I was the one that was born kind of with a silver spoon in my mouth. My mom was a successful OBGYN in our where we grew up. We both grew up in Santa Fe, New Mexico, for those of you that don't know us and our kind of our background. My mom, obviously was a successful doctor. My dad owned his own business in custom cabinetry. And so I grew up in a much different lifestyle growing up. I had traveled to Europe, had traveled different places, went on a lot of vacations, and Joni was a total opposite.
That was super awkward, coming into a family like this, where I'm not used to gifts and, I started working when I was 15 years old, to work for my clothes and anything else that I wanted to buy. So it was just a weird experience to be, around a family that just had everything and felt like I never could have a voice, or I didn't want to have a voice, when they asked me, hey, what do you think about this? Or, taking me on family trips, and it just, it was cool. But at the same time, I wasn't not used to that just because of the upbringing.
Still to this day, you get a little weirded out when people ask for your wish list or your Christmas lists and all that, because you growing up, that wasn't
the norm. Yeah.
Yeah. And
I was happy with whatever anybody bought me, I was happy with. So
what was your first job?
Oh, my first job was Taco Bell at 15 years old. So yeah, I mean, that's part of Sean and I as well. We're so driven, and even, at 15, I wanted, to get my own job so I could, buy my own clothes, things that I wanted. And so my grandfather actually took me to get my worker's permit at 15 and begged him for that. And so he would, drop me off every morning at Taco Bell in the summer and then pick me back up. That was my first job.
Yeah. I mean, it was still different for me. I obviously worked for my parents. So I worked for my dad at the time. And so at 15, I was working summers. I had 2-a-days for soccer in the summer, and then I would, in between, yeah. I sanded more cabinets, and Joni remembers those days, because there was days I'd come home smelling like sawdust and wood.
Oh, it was terrible.
we were both driven at a young age we wanted things. And so, yes, I had a nice truck, but it's because I worked for it, yeah. and I worked very hard during the summers to pay for that truck growing up. And but yeah, I think sports, though, do you give a lot of, contribute a lot of your work ethic and all that because of sports?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's it helped me, just getting out of my comfort zone, doing things that I didn't want to do, and just the drive, like the willing to want to do more and be more. And around, other teammates and teamwork, and I'm huge on that. I mean, in our organization today.
Yeah. I agree 100%. And some that I remember, I won a state championship my senior year in basketball, but to get there, was quite a journey. Cause I remember we had some tough coaches and, you know, sophomore, junior year, we had this, coach that, just he believed in what's the way, like he would be so aggressive with you, verbal abuse, let's just put it that way.
Well, yeah, if this is the coach that I'm thinking of, his son didn't even want to play.
Yeah, his son quit. So his way of weeding people out was, if he got you to quit, you weren't strong enough,
right?
You weren't manly enough to be in sports, you know, or participate, if you weren't mentally strong enough to take the verbal abuse that he gave. So and it was brutal, and he was a tough guy. But I also contribute, the one thing that you'll know about us, we never quit.
Yep.
I took massive verbal abuse, and just, you deal with it, you learn to cope with it. I still contribute to him a lot with, cause I can take that rejection. I can take that, being yelled at, and it doesn't, I'll step up to it, and I'll usually step up to the challenge.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's
And that's part of, like, even in the businesses that we, you know, for many years, we bought pre-foreclosure houses and, you know, knocking on doors. I mean, we would, you know, wake up early in the morning, knock on doors and, you know, get doors slammed on us left and right, you know. But, we still did it. You know, we had a drive for it and we kept going.
We had a picture at the end, and that our drive to get to that destination was, it was a bigger drive than the challenges that we had to overcome, I think, along the way. Yeah. We both went to college together. We had some opportunities to leave the state, but I chose to stay so that I could continue the relationship with Joni. And that honestly, that was the best decision I ever could have made.
Yeah.
And because look at where it's gotten us today. But yeah, we stayed. I stayed in New Mexico. Went to UNM. Both of us went there. That was quite a journey as well. Just being, we moved in together immediately right after high school at 18 years old. Yeah. So, and I remember, what did your mom tell you when you moved out?
Oh, she's like, if you're moving out of the house, like, you're done, you're cut off, you know, this, you're on your own. So I kind of knew that anyhow. So, so I think my first year in college, I had like 3 jobs, going to school full time just to try to make ends meet. I mean, we lived in the ghetto. It was pretty bad.
Yeah, it was rough. It was, I lived in a place that I was able to, I think our first year of college, I lived off like $11,000.
It was,
I think,
something for a full ridiculous.
Year. Yeah. But, I had homeless, I had, my neighbor was a guy that just got out of the penitentiary. He had a she-male living with him, and it was the weirdest relationship I had ever seen, but I was so scared of him. I just got to know them. It was nice. I would take them to the, go to get like something at the gas station if they needed me to ride. I think one time I took him for a drug deal.
Yeah, we were in, I remember we were in your 4Runner. Yeah. They asked us to take him, you know, to this house, and all of a sudden they came running out with something. I think we were in the middle of a drug deal.
We just participated in a drug deal. But, we also, it was a challenge. I think, we got we start in college. We, I was very fortunate to go to school on a lottery scholarship. So, my tuition was paid for. So, I had used this small amount of money my parents had actually saved for me to go to college. And I actually spent that on, late night infomercial. I think that time,
it was Russ Whitney, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, Russ
it was
Whitney.
Russ Whitney.
Back in the day, that tells you how long ago this was. I think this is 2000. And so I had, I bought boot camps. I bought a mentorship program, but there was a lot of great things that came out of that. I think we got an awesome wholesale experience, learning how to wholesale properties, and then we got a very good mentor that he was out of Detroit or out of Michigan, Northern Michigan. And he came down, spent a week with us. But the cool part is that he held our hand for the next, 6 years? It was almost a year, right?
Yeah.
We did deals together. He brought the money to the table. We would split deals and profits together. I think the first deal, I didn't have enough to even pay for.
No, I think we bought that first deal on a credit card, yeah, right?
So we'd use a cash advance on a credit card, and that's how we were able to secure that deal.
I mean, we don't recommend that today.
No. We were very naive. We were, you know, 19 years old. And so, like, we had nothing to lose. At that point, it was just, you know, we were willing to do whatever it takes to achieve our dream. So,
yeah, but if it was, wasn't for our mentor along the way, you know, we may have not have been here. I mean, I mean, that's something that I highly recommend as well, is, you know, get a mentor, get somebody that you can really look up to, you know, because you need coaches and mentors in your life to get you where you're at.
I agree. And finding a mentor, whatever avenue you're looking at, I think that's somebody that will, there's tons of people that are willing to support and help you reach your goals. You don't have to pay for them. We paid for that one. So, I mean, that's another avenue. You can pay for a mentor and they'll help you, but you can also find people that are willing, you know, that are in that industry, that are willing to help you.
Yeah. That hold your hand and, you know, walk you through the steps. I mean, you know, I mean, we made so many mistakes through our career, but, I mean, it helped having a mentor there to, you know, walk us through those.
Absolutely. So, I mean, that's how we got our start. So, I ended up getting a degree in, I went 4 years of mechanical engineering, and, I took an internship, I think my sophomore year or junior year, you know, during the school year, just to test and see if I, you know, really wanted to truly be an engineer. And I found out it wasn't for me. And so my senior year, I changed to entrepreneurial studies, and that's what my degree in. So I'm one of the few that actually uses his degree for, what he does, but you know, it's always ironic. You have college professors with jobs teaching you how to be an entrepreneur. But, you know, I got some benefit out. We got to go to some they would pitch, businesses would pitch to investors and trying to raise money. And we got to experience some of that. And so I got some good things out of it. But that was my degree. I think you went.
I went into nursing initially, and spent a couple years doing that, and figured out quickly that it wasn't for me. I had this terrible. I remember that biology teacher I had. I just couldn't stand her, so I was like, "Hey, I'm done. Like, I'm going to business." So then I went to the business school for about a year or so, and then decided to get my real estate license. So I've. I think I was probably, 19 years old when I got my real estate license.
19 or 20.
And been a licensed real estate agent and broker since. So,
yeah,
a long journey.
Our experience is we'd go to school from, we try to plan our classes where we'd go, like the early class, like 9 to usually like 11 or 1 o'clock. Mm-hmm. That was our typical schedule. And then we would go and buy and flip houses, you know, after school. So it was we had a very different college experience than most. You know, most people are focused on partying, and we probably done more partying as adults than we did in college. But it wasn't our drive or our dream at that time. We had a much bigger, picture at that time, and it was that drive just drove us. So the minute we got out of school, I think we'd do homework. I don't even remember this, but I know we'd be visiting our job sites. Yep. We got into pre-foreclosure investing.
And we did some of the work ourselves. I remember actually getting in there and, you know, pulling out cabinets, installing them and painting and, you know, resanding floors and refinishing them. I mean, we did a lot of the nitty-gritty work ourselves, and that was fun. I actually enjoyed that part of it.
I got some pictures of you, I think, that we share every once in a while with you. I think you were cleaning the house at that time. We also tried some other businesses. We always did real estate. That's been the core of our businesses, you know, throughout and still today. But we also attribute some other business that we tried, you know, in college along with flipping houses we bought our first house at 19. So we were buying and selling at a very young age. But we also tried, network marketing business. And, I still buy their products from them still today, but I attribute a lot of my getting me out of my comfort zone at such a young age was that business. Cause man, you talk about massive rejection.
Oh, that was a tough. No shows after no shows, you know, it can get frustrating at times, but we stuck with it, and I think it helped us.
Yeah, I mean, it teaches if try at a if you're very young and either get in a sales program or start at a company with that has a young that has a that will train you like a I think the what's that the Nationwide, right? The car agency.
Oh,
I think
they have Nation. Yes. Mm-hmm.
But you get in an organization that has a young training sales or get in a network marketing business, even if it's not. I mean, maybe it's your passion or not, but man, they teaches you about sales and rejection.
Yeah, they
about,
do.
I mean, we cold call, and you're cold calling your friends and family, which are some of the toughest people to cold call, you know, asking them to be a part of a business. And then, like Joni said, like we would make appointments, we'd show up, nobody would answer the door. You know, we'd travel an hour to go show them the business plan and get rejected. And then the other thing you did was passion
parties. Passion parties by Joni.
So explain what passion parties by Joni is.
It's really like an adult like novelty. You know, you really have parties for women, you know, a fun time for either bachelorettes or birthday parties, and women come together and, you know, just have fun with it. And so I did that through college, and it was actually a good time. It really taught me some things. And, you know, actually, funny story, my mother actually would go along with me to these parties because she didn't want me going by myself. So, and, you know, yeah, that was.
So you sold dildos. So, and then, you know, after college, by then we had already, we started to have some success in college with real estate. And we, much like the TV shows, we bought and sold houses. You know, we'd buy houses, fix them up, you know, put them on the, Joni was a agent or broker at that time, and we'd sell them retail on the market. You know, we did that for years, and we got heavily into pre-foreclosure mm-hmm. investing, which is, for those of you guys don't know, the pre-foreclosure investing is where you knock on, or you don't have to knock, you can mail or call, but we thought the best avenue was cold calling, I'm sorry, door knocking. And so for 10 years straight, Joni and I door knocked. And that I think that is a testimony to the perseverance. I think you got to do something for a long time to really see the results. And mm-hmm. so for 10 years straight, we door knocked on thousands of homes. Our typical week consisted of 25 homes a day. And so we'd, you know, in the morning we'd door knock, and then we'd go in the afternoon and check on our job sites. And then we go back to checking on the houses of the people that called us back or the appointments we set. We go back at night because that's usually when they got out of work.
And, yeah. And we were successful at it. Yeah. We came in as, you know, a young couple, non-threatening, you know, and so we used to have this thing where 5 minutes or 5 hours, it didn't matter. You know, you knocked on the door, you built rapport with these homeowners quickly, try to get into, you know, meet with them and help them out with their situation. You know, and so we used to say 5 minutes or 5 hours. It didn't matter. I mean, at the time we didn't have kids, so we, you know, there was times where we were sitting in with the homeowner drinking beer at like 8 o'clock in the morning. Remember that?
Or, yeah, you had some
cockroaches climbing up here.
You get in the most uncomfortable, and I think you're seeing a theme here. You put yourself in some uncomfortable situations, and you're willing to do what others aren't willing to do, and that's kind of what Joni and I, where we've gotten to, is because we're willing to overcome obstacles or challenges that most people aren't willing to do or go through. And, yeah. And we did some extreme, you know, situations that we got or put ourselves into at a, you know, and the best story was, I think to date was, and someday we're going to have to write a book on all the pre-foreclosure.
Oh, gosh, we can definitely write a book.
But we went to a house, you know, we're going to probably, you know, go into several episodes of kind of what brought us to or our journey, because we're just getting started. But I remember when we had first moved to Texas, you know, we had bought a house from a lady, a single lady, and we were having trouble to get her to move. So she had already signed the paper. We owned the home, and we were like, okay, we need, you know, we're going to get to move you to your apartment, and we're going to have to put your stuff in storage. And we were helping her facilitate that. And, I remember we sat down.
So you were actually sick with the flu. I remember
That was afterwards.
Was that afterwards?
Yeah, it was after. Because first she came to the, we first knocked and we're like, okay, we got to get this lady to move. Because we got to get the rehab guys going on the house. So we met with her and she's like, come in guys, come in. So she invited us in like normal. It was like the fifth time we had met with her. And she immediately goes to the master bedroom. Like Joni and I are looking at each other, kind of like, this is a little creepy. Okay. So we've been in some creepy situations before. And she goes and sits on the bed in the master bedroom. And she starts tapping on the table, on the bed. So I want to move before I move. And Joni and I are like,
what? Is she asking us to sleep with her? What's going on here?
And I think my eyes were probably like, as big as Joni had ever seen them. And, is freaking us out. And again, she just taps on the bed. I want to move before I move.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
And so I just had to take one. No, I'm just joking. No, but the truth, yeah, we're like, no, we're not going to go there. And we couldn't believe that we got positioned to do that, propositioned to do that. But it was, these are the situations you get when you're knocking on pre-foreclosure doors. So I think we're going to end it, the episode one at this stage, and we're going to continue it onto episode two, where we're going to continue on with our journey and get you closer to where we are today. But if you saw value in today and kind of, what we delivered, we would love for you guys to subscribe to the show, continue to watch it, and
tell your friends. It's word of mouth. Then
please give us a 5-star and subscribe and continue on this journey with us.
You've been listening to Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkle. Tons of entrepreneurial podcasts are out there talking.
Talk, talk, talking.
But Joni and Sean are living it every single day. Their portfolio now includes many franchises and medium-sized businesses. We talk about the trials and motivators of successfully running a business. Join us again soon for another podcast. But until then, reach out on the website at InsideTheWolf'sDen.com, on Facebook at Inside the Wolf's Den, on Instagram at Inside the Wolf Den. We'll see you again soon. This is Inside the Wolf's Den. We'll see you next time.